Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGodsWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to see you in the household of the Lord on this very warm Wednesday night. Amen. We're glad that you've joined us here in the house of the Lord. We pray that something will be said to encourage your hearts, your minds, and your souls in your walk of faith. Amen. Amen. Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Oh, that sounds good for a Wednesday night. Let's do that again. Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Amen. And this is our charge. This is our goal throughout the year of 2012. We want to make him known. We want to make him known. And this month, we've been making him known through the resurrection. Making him known through the resurrection. For Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. That no one who believes in me, will live. In John 11:25. Tonight, we're going to talk about a sovereign resurrection. A sovereign resurrection. We're going to look at 2 Kings verse 13, 20 through 21. 2 Kings verse 13, 20 through 21. It's in your handouts and on the screen. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
Elijah died.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue in the household of the Lord. Tonight again, we're going to share a sovereign resurrection. And tonight we're going to share all around 3 points. We're going to talk about a sovereign death. We're going to talk about a sovereign ditch. And we're going to talk about a sovereign dash, meaning life. I want Christians to know tonight that Christians should depend on God's resurrection power. Christians should depend upon God's resurrection power. Many of you, when we think about resurrection power, we think about the New Testament. We think about what happened in the New Testament and God's resurrection power. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the Old Testament, we see a God who still has the power over life and death. And we see that even before Jesus came and raised Lazarus and raised himself, that God was still God before that. And he still had a resurrection power. Look at tonight, a very strange text, strange to me because of the lack of detail and how it seemed to happen so nonchalantly, how it seemed to happen. Long story short, this man of God, Elisha, was a great man of God. He was even greater than Elijah. Elijah, we know, who took on the prophets of Baal and called down fire from the sky. He was a great man of God, and Elisha is one who carried his bags, who carried his books, who was with him, his servant. And at the end of his life, people felt, and the prophets felt, that it was about time for Elisha to go on, and they were talking to Elisha. Now, my dyslexia helps me really kind of confuse these two, but remember, Elisha is the main one we're talking about tonight. Elisha. But when God came down and brought that fire, that chariot from heaven, and took Elijah from the scenes, Elisha was left behind. And he got the mantle. He got the coat, the mantle. And he tried it out, and he hit the waters, and the waters spread, and he got to do twice as much as Elijah. Thank you. He got to do twice as much, and which was miraculous, because he was a great man of God. In modern day terms, he was a bad man. And he got to do double. He got to do twice as much, twice as many miracles, twice as much. And this man of God was so powerful that when he died, that evidently there was still power that was left in his bones. Hello, somebody. So much power that was left in his bones that we get to this story here in our text. As you read that when a dead man's body touched this prophet's bones, he came to life. Wow! Now that's resurrection power. That's resurrection power. Let's get back to the story. Let's get back to the story. This a sovereign death. Elisha died and was buried. I said this is so nonchalant. It was a lot of times when the men of God died, there was a big hoop to do of them, and it would tell about how the people were mourning and how they were sad they would mourn for 70 days or mourn for 40 days but it simply says of this powerful man of God is that he died and was buried, and that's it. Hello, somebody. First of all, we see in this text that men of God do die. Let me say that, because sometimes we look and see how God used these men so much that we forget that they're not only just men, they're not God men, but they're men, and that they're limited, and that death does come to the house of the preacher. And many of us who've experienced this kind of death knows that this is one of the saddest kind of death. When I lost my father in the ministry, Dr. E.K. Bailey, this was a sad kind of death. We were in disbelief, even at the graveside. We were in disbelief. We were discombobulated, because we believed that God was going to heal his body. We believed that God was going to do it, but God didn't do it, and he died. And he died, and we were all, those of us who were by the graveside, we was just shocked and stunned. But we have to let folk know that men of God do die. That man that you love, that's a leader, that preacher, that man of God, he's limited like everybody else. Is that he will, as a matter of fact, not only will men of God die, but we all will die one day. Hello, somebody. And if we don't die, Oh, some of my loved ones will die. And as I get older, I can see why they tell us that the good die young, or that it's good to die young, because it seems to me the longer I live, the more conscious I am of those who are dying around me, those who are being translated on. And but it is appointed once for us all to die one day. Oh, I remember my grandmother. I remember my grandmother. I love my grandmother so much, but the saddest thing about my grandmother's life is that she outlived all the people that were contemporary to her. In other words, she was the last one of all of her brothers and sisters. She was the last one. She outlived even some of her grandbabies. And I was singing that that was a blessing. But can you imagine all of the death that she experienced having lived so long? Oh, but we all will die. And the truth of the matter is just that men of God die, and we'll all die, and we'll have to deal with the deaths. And the way that we deal with the deaths is we thank and praise the Lord for those who die in the Lord, because it's a little easy to handle. It's still hard, but it's a little easier, because we can know that we can. That they can't see us, but we can go and see them one day. Hello, somebody. It's David said, he can't come to me, but I have to cross over to him. And then that's an encouragement. And the sad part about death is that we definitely don't want nobody to die who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there have been people that have been, really touched by all of the deaths, because some have said, I was around this person and I didn't get to share the Lord with him. I feel guilty. And if we are left behind as a church, we're left behind to Bethlehem to make him known. We got to let everybody around us know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to be passionate about that, because that person that you're taking for granted that's going to be there tomorrow may be gone, and it's our job to make Christ known, so that when they do die, they can go on and be with the Lord and won't have to go to that other place called hell. And nobody should want anybody to say love, or even the people that they hate, to end up in hell. So it's our job to Bethlehem. It's our job to make him known. That's why we were left behind. We still got a mission. We still have a charge. And God is trying to shake us up and to wake us up that we might be on mission for him. Oh, because everybody will die one day. Hello, somebody. And if they don't die, they'll be either raptured out with Christ. Hello, somebody. But the Bible does say it's appointed once for man to die. And guess what? In this text, that appointment that was made was even the man of God. The man of God that did double that of the first prophet. He died. And there was no fanfare. It says he died and was buried, period. And that's it, and that's it, and that's done. Hello, somebody. But later we'll find out that his death was a sovereign death, because he died one day. Somebody else would live. Hello, somebody. A sovereign death. And this reminds us that when things happen in our lives, God has the ability of working it all together for our good, because we're called according to his purpose. Hello, somebody. When bad things happen, we wonder, where is God in all of this? Hello, somebody. Oh, and I'm so glad that Joseph can give us a testimony in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Oh, he said of all that he had gone through, what did he go through? You know the story. He was his dad's favorite baby boy. His daddy loved him so much that he gave him a what I call a FUBU jacket, a colorful jacket. And because he was playing favorites, of course the brothers didn't like him. And many of us come from some crazy family, because mama and daddy favorite and one over the other. Oh, and they favored him, and as a result, they hated him. And to make a long story short, there was something about a pit. There was something about being sold in slavery. There was something about being in prison. And it seemed like that there was nothing good that was going to come of his life. It seems like that all of this bad, all of this that was going on, he lost his family. He lost his freedom. He lost everything. He lost his identity when they took him to another country. He lost everything. But there was one thing that was with him through that pit. There was one somebody that was with him in that pit. There was one somebody that was with him when he was being sold as a slave. There was one somebody that was with him when he got put in the prison. And that one somebody was God. And God, to guess what, worked all that together for his good. All of that bad stuff, all of the stuff that he had to go through. And there's somebody here today, you're going through all kind of bad stuff. It don't make no sense as to why you have to lose all the loved ones that you're losing. It doesn't make any sense why you've got to lose your job. It doesn't make any sense why you're about to lose your mind up in here because of the troubles and the tribulations that you're going through. But one of the things I like to tell you is to keep living and keep believing in God. Never give up on God. Never give up. Never give in on God, because he has the ability to reverse some things. He has the ability to resurrect some things in your life. And at the end of it all, we know the story of Joseph. Joseph went from being in the prison to being the second in command of a whole nation. And as a result of that, when his brothers got before him and his brothers thought that he was going to turn back on him, and he was after their daddy died, they thought that he would finally get his revenge. But this is what he had to say. All of this was God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty means being able to put you in the right place at the right time for a miracle. Put you in the right place at the right time for a blessing. That's sovereignty. And this is what Joseph had to say. You intended to harm me, but God intended, for good, to accomplish what is being done and to saving of many lives. What you're going through right now, you think it's harm. No, it's not harm. God is working it together because he wants to use you to save many lives. As people see the hopeless situations that you go through, but yet you keep your faith in God, and they'll see how God rearranged something. They'll see how God worked some things out on your behalf. The end of the story is that some folk will be saved. These folk lives were saved because God had sent Joseph before him. God's sovereignty had worked everything out. It was a unique God-designed kind of plan for his life. And God has a unique kind of plan for you right now when it seems like life is out of control. When it seems like, as I said many times, that London Bridge is falling now. You got to keep your faith and keep your hope in God and never give up on God, because God never gives up on you in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, never give up on God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This was a sovereign death, and we see the sovereignty of God at work in the life of Joseph. And I'm praying that you would see the sovereignty of God, if not today, someday, and how he's worked all of this madness, all of this pain, all of this sadness, all of this gloom out somehow together for his good, because he loves you, and you're called according to his purpose. In Jesus' name. That sovereign death led to a sovereign ditch. A sovereign ditch. Because it said once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body in Elisha's tomb. Hello, somebody. What seemed like a random event, what seemed like an event that took some folk off guard, ended up being a sovereign appointment. What seemed like they saw these guys coming to attack them, and they were carrying a dead man, and they just happened to be in front of the tomb of Elisha. Just happened. I don't think that it just happened. I believe that it was in God's plan for them to be at that place at that time. The dead man, even though he was dead, was being set up for a miracle. I wonder how many dead folk here tonight who are being set up for a miracle. You may not be physically dead, but you may be dead emotionally. You may not be physically dead, you may be dead mentally. You may not be physically dead, but there's a situation in your life that seems to be dead. There's a dead hope, there's a dead dream, there's a dead desire, and it seems like life has moved on without you. It seems like that life has already given those plans the burial dance and the burial walk. But God says tonight that there's somebody, because of the random nature of what just happened in your life, it's not random, it's putting you in the right place at the right time for a miracle. What seems like a sovereign niche, seems like something that was out of your control, something that was out of your charge. It seemed random, but God is a God that can put the puzzle of the pieces of this life together in a random moment, in that little moment that you don't think that means much, in that little moment that's a shifting that maybe is happening right now while the preacher preached, that God is trying to put in your spirit. It may be happening in your spirit first. There may be a resurrection happening right now in your spirit. Because you just randomly decided to come to the household of the Lord and to hear the word of God. And as a result, there's something random that just happened. A random word was spoken. A random moment just happened. But that random moment is really a sovereign moment. That random moment is really a providential moment. You're being set up. You're in the right place at the right time for a miracle. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you're in the right place at the right time for a miracle. In Jesus' name, what seemed random, they just found the first place and just opened the door and threw them in. They didn't know about the healing power of the bones of that man of God. All they did was throw him in. He was dead, and they were trying to save their own lives, but didn't know that by trying to save their own lives, they would be saving that man's life. Hello, somebody up in here, this is a sovereign moment. This is a sovereign time. Just like Esther in Esther 4:14. It seemed like her life didn't mean much. She was a orphan girl, and that orphan girl was adopted by her Uncle Mordecai. And Uncle Mordecai was a good man, was a godly man. Uncle Mordecai raised her up in the fear of the Lord, and she was born, and she looked good. Her looks would play a role into her destiny. And to make a long story short, she went by God's sovereign providential plan for her life. She went from being an orphan to being a queen. Hello, somebody up in here says, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. That's okay. God can use motherless children, and he can raise them up to be queens. And she was raised up to be a queen, but she was not just there for herself, not just there to look good. A problem would come, and guess what? God would have her in the right place at the right time to answer the problem for the people of God. And this is what Esther 4:14 says. Mordecai talking to his niece, he says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But if you in your father's house will perish. And then it goes on to pose this question, and who knows but that you may have come to your wrong position for such a time as this. God's sovereignty working all things together for good. An edict that when all the Jews would die, she was put at a sovereign place, at a sovereign moment. She was distant. She didn't know the plan, but she figured it out through fasting and praying. And if you're here today and you're going through too much, you're about to lose your mind, you don't know what to do, God says, you better learn to fast and pray. I said, you better learn to fast and pray, because God has you in a sovereign place at this sovereign moment. And who knows whether you're at where you are for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's a sovereign place and it's a sovereign time. In Jesus' name. The sovereign place and the sovereign time. In our text today, led to a dead man walking. Hello, somebody. Really, he was alive. As we move on to point number 3. A sovereign dash. You know what a dash is? A dash is if you go to the tombstone, it'll have your birth date, and then it would have your death date, and it'll have the dash in between. The dash in between represent life, the life that you live. You lived from 19 such and such, and you died on 20 such and such. So the dash represents life. And don't you know the text says of a sovereign dash that when the body touched Elisha's bones. Wow. When the body touched Elisha's bone, the man came to life and stood on his feet. Hello, somebody. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I can only pray that I have those kind of powerful bones. Hello, somebody. I can only pray that I can live that kind of powerful life to where the dead man touched his bones and the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Hello, somebody. A sovereign dash. What seemed like a sovereign death for this man, it would lead to a sovereign life. In other words, if this man would have never died, he would have never lived. Woo-wee. Let me say that again. If this man would have never died, this man in the text may have not lived again, is the best way to put it, because it was really a resurrection. Lived again. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God worked the death death of the man of God together for his good. Hello, somebody. And if we allow God to work, if we don't give up on God during times such as these, I believe that he can work all of these sovereign deaths so that somebody who's dead in their trespasses and sins can live. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. Some of you missed it. If God can use all of this death around us as a church to get our attention and to let us know, Bethlehem! Let us know that it's time for us to get on our jobs and to make him long through these deaths. Many people who are dead in their trespasses and sins will be able to live. Hello, somebody. If we get on our job, if we do what God calls us to do, and everybody's talking about that, God is trying to tell us something. Some people are saying, but folk are going back to the way that they normally live. I've heard some folks say that God's not just trying to tell some folk out there something. God is trying to tell some folk up in here something. And there's been some real spiritual people who said, God is trying to tell me something. Hello, somebody. It's time for us to, as the old folks say, get right, church, and let's go home. Death reminds us that this place is not our home. If this place is not our home, then why are we here? Well, Jesus says, and Reverend Ford preached from that text, but you need to go on down Sunday a little later, where he commissioned the church. And he commissioned the church that we may go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's our job. He told us to go out and make nations. And nations with an S. Everybody, that's getting saved, don't just need to look like me. They may need to look different from me. I may need to carry this message to somebody other than me, like Paul had to do. The Jews rejected his message, so he had to go over to the Gentiles. I need to find my place where I'm most productive, and I need to share about Jesus Christ, because time is running out. Time is running out. For those 10 most wanted I have in the box. Time is running out for every person around me that doesn't know the Lord. Time is running out. And I know more today than I ever knew that time is running out. And as a result, I must be about my Father's business. Maybe the sovereign death can lead to some sovereign life in Paul's Valley, where God works everything together for our good, and he uses us to reach out to others that they may be saved in Jesus' name. Bethlehem! Make him known, church. Make him known. That's why we spent all of last year wanting to know him. Because if we truly know him, it would be no problem to make him known. If we truly know him, we can make it through times as difficult as our times are. If we truly know him, and if you don't know him, then God can use these sovereign deaths so that you can get to know him better and more personal and more intimate. I can remember, I share this testimony all the time about the death of she was 19 years old, my 19-year-old cousin in Dallas, Texas. I was 21, she was 19, And it was that death that made death a real reality for me, because there had been others who had died, but, you know, I really didn't know them. I, others who had died, and then, you know, we'd go back to Crowville and have their funeral, and the funeral would end up being more like a family reunion, because it seemed like our family only got together during the time of death. But this death was different. I knew her. She was my cousin. I loved my little cousin. She was, we called her Nene. I loved me some Nene. Nene was something else. And when she died, I just couldn't just get over it. I didn't believe, you know, why are these people just going on like nothing happened after the funeral? Why are they just going back? Don't they know that my cousin Nene died? She died. Don't they know? But they're just going back to live as if nothing had ever happened. And this thing touched me so much that every time I thought of her, I cried. Every time I thought of her, I cried. I mean, I cried. I cried. And one month passed by. Every time I thought of her, I cried. I had made it back to life, and life was going on. But every time I thought of her, 3 months, every time I thought of her, I cried. 6 months from there, every time I thought of her, I cried. I cried. And after a year, about a year's time, I looked back over that year's time, and even though it had been a sad time for me, I realized that I had gotten closer to God. Because every time I cried, I wasn't alone. God was there, wiping the tears from my eyes. Hello, somebody. He was there. And when I cried to him. That's what I tell folk. When you mourn, don't just mourn all out all willy-nilly. Mourn to God. Cry to him. Cry out to him. Let him know your hurt. Let him know your pain. Cry out to him. Because when you cry out to him, you become more closer. You become more intimate with God. And before you know it, the worst time of your life could end up being the best time of your life, because you got closer to God. Hello, somebody. Reminds me of that story. And I've told this many times, of that sheep that would always stray. Sheep would always stray, you know. He'd always run off. Finally, so the shepherd found him, and the shepherd broke the sheep's leg. Wow, that's kind of brutal. He broke the sheep's leg. And guess what? The sheep couldn't walk no more. And everywhere he went, he had to carry that sheep, but he made sure he carried that sheep over his heart, close to his heart, so that when he carried him, he would hear the heartbeat of the shepherd. And he had to carry him everywhere he went. He had to carry him, put him down, feed him, carry him, put him down, feed him, water him, carry him, put him down. To finally, when that little sheep's leg had healed and he put him down, he never strayed again, because he had learned the heartbeat of the shepherd. Hello, somebody. God is trying to get somebody to learn through this time the heartbeat of the shepherd, because you've been straying, you've been running off, you've been going to places that you shouldn't go and doing things that you shouldn't do, and God had to use this time to get your attention, this time to break you and to carry you, so that, oh, by the time that you are healed, by the time that you're mended, that when it's time for you to walk on your own, you'll never stray again, because you've learned the heartbeat of the shepherd. Amen. Shall we pray?
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor praise Mike Lee Tom, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.